from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates Agus Gumiwang as Minister of Social Affairs. President Joko Widodo affirms handling the Lombok earthquake as the first task of Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo inaugurates Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Social Affairs, replacing Idrus Marham. The inauguration of the Golkar Party politician was carried out based on the Presidential Decree number 148/2018 concerning the dismissal and the appointment of the Minister of Social Affairs in remaining 2014-2019 term. The Presidential Decree, which came into force since it was enacted by the President on August 24, 2018, includes the dismissal of Idrus as the Minister of Social Affairs of the Working Cabinet. Agus Gumiwang's inauguration was attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Chairman of the Regional Representative Council Osman Sabta Odang, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyati, Minister of State Secretary Pratikno and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung. Agus Gumiwang was also accompanied by his parents, the former Minister of Mines and Energy in the era of President Suharto, Ginanjar Kartasasmita, and wife. President Joko Widodo assigns the handling of Lombok disaster impact as the main task that must be carried out by Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Social Affairs. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo after inaugurating Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, replacing Idrus Marham for the remaining 2014-2019 period. The President also pointed out that the handling of the Lombok earthquake impact is an urgent matter that must be immediately coped with by the government. This is also the basis for the rapid process of replacing the position of Minister of Social Affairs to Agus. In addition to the Lombok earthquake, Agus Gumiwang must also prepare a familyhood program which will be launched again in 2019. The specific task is to immediately solve the problems in West Nusa Tenggara and NTB and the problems related to the preparation for the Hopefully Family Program, PKH, in 2019. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also expressed his appreciation to Idrus Marham, who had nightly resigned from the position of Minister of Social Affairs, to concentrate on facing the legal process he is facing. Regarding the legal case that befalls Idrus Marham, President Joko Widodo affirmed that he has surrendered to the ongoing legal process to the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. Governor Bank Indonesia BI Ferry Warjio confirmed that the impact of weakening of rupiah exchange rate on the mixed inflation is still under control. In a press statement after attending high-level meeting of the Central Inflation Control Team, TPIP, in Jakarta on Friday, Governor Ferry explained three factors that support this.
Bahwa tingkat pelemahan nilai tukar rupiah kita yang year to date itu di sekitar 7%, itu relatif lebih rendah.
That's the seventh year-to-date rate of depreciation of our rupiah exchange rate is relatively lower compared to a number of other countries such as India and others. Moreover, Brazil, Turkey, and South Africa are depressed much higher. Our depreciation is relatively lower, even lower in 2015 or 2013. The second factor why imported inflation or the impact of exchange rate on control inflation is that our supply level or our aggregate supply is greater than the level of demand for goods, which we often call our output gap negative. The third factor why imported inflation is controlled is that expectations are well achieved. Ferry Warjio further said that Bank Indonesia continues to stabilize the rupiah by raising the benchmark interest rate or 7 days reverse repo rate. The increase in interest rate is expected to encourage foreign capital flows to meet the financial market in Indonesia. Currently, according to Ferry, the flow of foreign capital through government security SBN for long-term investors has begun to enter. In addition to raising the benchmark interest rate, Ferry also said that Bank Indonesia has carried out double intervention in the foreign exchange market while buying SBN from the secondary market. He also claimed that Bank Indonesia had made it easier, faster, and made the sweat rate cheaper. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita affirmed that nowadays the U.S. government is still delaying implementing trade sanctions for Indonesia. Previously, the U.S. government prepared trade sanctions worth $350 million, or around 5.04 trillion rupiah, for Indonesia. The move was prepared after the U.S. warned a lawsuit in the World Trade Organization WTO over restrictions on imports of U.S. agricultural and livestock products by Indonesian government. After attending the high-level meeting of the Central Inflation Control Team (TPIP) in Jakarta on Friday, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said the delay in the implementation is the result of the communication process between the Indonesian and U.S. governments. It is not cancelled. That with progress with the communication that we made, then the United States said it had sent a letter to the WTO to be postponed first. So now the retaliation is held first. This is still in process. We discuss it later. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the U.S. would postpone the implementation of sanctions for Indonesia until an indefinite deadline. The U.S. lawsuit began in 2014. At the time, the U.S. requested consultation with Indonesian regarding the rules of import of horticulture and animal products, which were considered not in line with the provisions of international trade. The rules they protested are the regulation of Agriculture Minister No. 86/2013 concerning the recommendation on the import of horticultural products and the regulation of the Trade Minister No. 16/2013 concerning provisions on the import of horticultural products. At the time, Indonesia defended itself by stating that the rule was made to guarantee the quality of halal products, public health, and to protect the surplus of domestic agricultural production. The Indonesian government plans to hamper imports of consumer goods by increasing import income tax (PPH) ranging from 2.5% until 7.5%. The main tax is Article 22 income tax, which will be charged to business people who import 900 types of goods that had been determined by the government of Indonesia. Of each of these imported goods, the government of Indonesia will then review and decide how much the increase in import income tax will be based on the availability of goods and the availability of domestic industries. This was conveyed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in her press statement after attending the high-level meeting of the Central Inflation Control Team (TPIP) in Jakarta on Friday.
Untuk barang-barang import yang sudah diproduksi
for imported goods that had been produced domestically, especially by small and medium businesses that have capacity, we along with the Minister of Trade will control them more firmly. Then we will take very strict steps to control the consumer goods. This is done by reviewing about 900 imported commodities through the Minister of Trade and the Minister of Industry. Later we will see the ability and capacity to fulfill them. Minister Sri Mulyani added that the Indonesian government, through the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Trade and the Minister of Industry, is still identifying the increase of import income tax number 22 for imported goods. The identification is carried out to determine the impact on the economic activities of the community and the potential of domestic industry. She hopes that the identification can be completed soon so that early next month the increase in the import income tax number 22 can be applied. Newly inaugurated Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said at the State Palace in Jakarta that the Minister of Social Affairs plays a major role in reducing poverty in Indonesia. He pointed out this after he was sworn in to replace Idrus Marham, who resigned as Minister of Social Affairs. In addition, Agus Gumiwang also remarked that his side would also increase purchasing power of Indonesian people. He added that the government, through the Minister of Social Affairs, will provide stimulans so that the economy of the grassroots people can improve.
Kementerian Sosial itu merupakan sebuah institusi, sebuah kementerian yang.
The Minister of Social Affairs is a very important ministerial institution, because we see that the desire of the government under the leadership of Mr. Jokowi is one of the priorities to be raised or the poverty rate is reduced. Here the role of the Minister of Social Affairs is very huge. In addition, at the same time, the ministry will increase the purchasing power of the community. With the purchasing power of the people, there are stimulants from the government to drive the economy at the lower level. So I think this ministry is a very strategic one. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Social Affairs at the State Palace in Jakarta. Agus Gumiwang assumed his duty as Minister of Social Affairs for the remaining 2014-2019 period. He was appointed as Minister of Social Affairs shortly after President Joko Widodo received Idrus Marham's resignation letter on Friday afternoon. The last item, the Indonesian government through the Central Inflation Control Team (CIIP) keeps maintaining inflation low this year until next year. Previously, the government targeted the inflation rate to be at 3.5% plus minus 1%. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said in her press statement after attending a high-level meeting of the Central Inflation Control Team (CIIP) in Jakarta on Friday, that each minister or institution and all relevant stakeholders, including Bank Indonesia, had agreed and would focus on all components of the inflation.
Kita fokus kepada melihat komponen dari masing-masing inflasi tersebut.
We focus on looking at the components of each inflation. The deflation is so-called core inflation. Then the inflation is contributed from volatile food, and the inflation is expected to come from the exchange rate in the form of imported inflation. We look at these three components and see what we have to be aware of and carry out adjustment and policy measures so that the three components are not any factor that will trigger inflation until the end of the year and will continue in 2019. As we know that the inflation assumption, what we use in 2019 state budget, is also at the 3.5% level. Furthermore, Minister Sri Mulyani stated that the Indonesian government would continue to strive to maintain inflation at a low level to ensure the purchasing power of the people. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our weekly news from across the country, the segment which present interesting informations from various regions in a week. The
first story comes from Dharmasraya Regency, West Sumatra. Excavation conducted by the National Archaeology Research Center found evidence of civilization from the 8th century AD at Pulau Sawa Temple Complex in Dharmasraya Regency, West Sumatra. Chairman of the research team, Eka Asiputriana Taim, in Dharmasraya last Tuesday said that historical legacy proved that Pulau Sawa Temple Complex had existed since then. Among the historical relics, there are also found Buddhist spells on Pripi or earthenware. According to him, the finding proves that the existence of the temple complex is much older than the existence of Padang Roko Temple, which is also found Archampai Rawa Temple, dating from the 13th century AD. From several statues, it can be concluded that the Pulau Sawa Temple complex is a relic of the Tantrayana Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. Evidence of the existence of Mahayana Buddhism was found in the Pulau Sawa II temple with the discovery of Avalokitesvara and Buddhist feet. Meanwhile, evidence of the existence of Buddha Tantrayana is by finding several other statues of the teachings. Meanwhile, the head of West Sumatra Cultural Conservation Center, Nurmatia, said the findings of in Pulau Sawa Temple Complex, it was proven that Minangkabau or West Sumatra has a long history, especially the Hindu-Buddhist era. Next story comes from Pineapple Festival in Barito Kuala, South Kalimantan. Muhammad Aziz, the head of Mekarsari Subdistrict, Barito Kuala Regency, South Kalimantan, said that Pineapple Festival was intended for a promotional event since the region is a center for pineapple farming. Mekarsari Subdistrict head Muhammad Aziz in Marabahan, the district capital, last Monday said that the Pineapple Festival could also be used as pineapple picking tour in South Kalimantan. According to him, the festival is expected to increase creativity toward processed products made of pineapple and fostering passion for pineapple farmers' competition to produce higher quality crops. Meanwhile, the Barito Kuala region Nurmilyani hoped that the festival that was firstly held would be a storefront of various leading agricultural products of Barito Kuala, especially pineapple, which had been developed. Last story comes from Semarang, Sentul, Java. Semarang Mayor Hendrar Prihadi introduced a prototype of an electric-powered pedicab at the 73rd Indonesian Independence Day celebration at Semarang City Hall on Friday, August 17. He said the project is called Tiga Roda Indonesia. In addition, he also referred to the vehicle as Becak 2.0 or Becak Next Generation, because the vehicle principle is similar, namely three-wheeled and three-person cargo with one driver and two passengers. According to Henry, the pedicab developed by an automotive company in the region will later be projected as a tourist vehicle. Currently, Henry said, the white vehicle with the Semarang Grid logo is still in the development stage, so it cannot be used immediately. That was today's news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with what happened on October the 25th, 1945. The Allies land in Surabaya to disarm Japanese troops. On September 8, 1945, the Allied forces arrived in Indonesia. The arrival of Allied troops in Indonesia was welcomed by the people. The Allied goal was to disarm the Japanese troops, free prisoners, and search for war criminals. However, the arrival of Allied troops was followed by the Dutch, who wanted to come back to Indonesia to establish a civilian government called NICA, or Netherlands India Civil Administration. Allied troops, especially the British troops, first landed in Surabaya on October the 25th, 1945. The landing was led by Brigadier General A.W.S. Wallaby. 2 days later, the British troops stormed the prison of the New Republic to liberate detained Allied officers. On October 28, 1945, Allied outposts throughout the city of Surabaya were attacked by Indonesian youths. In the attack, the Allied forces were pinned. On October the 29th, the youth managed to take over the Allied stronghold. On October the 30th, 1945, fighting in front of International Bank Building occurred, precisely at Jembatan Merah or the Red Bridge. Brigadier General Malaby was killed during the incident. Turning now to October 25, 2009, the Baghdad bombing. On October 25, 2009, Baghdad bombing occurred, killed 155 and injured at least 721 people. Explosions came from 2 suicide bombers in the minivan that targeted the Ministry of Justice and the Baghdad Provincial Council building. Not only the 2 buildings, the city and public works ministry, which is located about 50 meters from the site, also suffered damage. On March 11, 2010, Iraqi police arrested Munaf Abdul Rahim Al-Rawi, the mastermind behind the bombing. The incident is the deadliest attack ever occurred since a similar incident in August 2007 that killed 120 people. The last is from October 25, 2010, Mentawai Islands earthquake. On October 25, 2010, an earthquake with a 7.7 magnitude occurred off the coast of Sumatra, Mentawai Islands. The United States Geological Survey said the quake occurred at 21.42 local time, about 240 kilometers west of Bengkulu, close to the Mentawai Islands. It caused tsunamis as high as 3 to 10 meters, and at least 77 villages were destroyed. The tsunami waves killed hundreds of people on the beach of Mentawai Islands. As a result, 286 people were killed and 252 others were reportedly missing. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with a daily segment, My Indonesia, which today is on increasing foreign exchange. Ministry of Industry spurs downstream CP industry. The Ministry of Industry continues to spur downstreaming in the crude palm oil industry sector in order to increase added value, exports, and foreign exchange to encourage national economic growth. Director General of Resilience and Development of International Industrial Access of the Ministry of Industry, I Gusti Putu Surya Wirawan, stated this in Jakarta, Wednesday, 22nd of August. Surya Wirawan added, the government is trying to get palm oil and its derivatives to be processed and sold abroad.
But now, the policy is being reviewed so that the product can be sold and there will be no problems later. Moreover, he added, the palm oil processing industry has been able to contribute significantly to Indonesia as the world's largest producer and exporter. The Ministry of Industry noted on an annual basis, the upstream downstream palm oil industry contributed $20 billion to the country's foreign exchange from exports. In addition, the sector also absorbs 21 million people both directly and indirectly. In fact, Indonesia contributes 48% of world CPO production and controls 52% of the world palm oil export market. Therefore, Indonesia has the opportunity to become the center of the global palm oil processing industry for food, non-food, and renewable fuels. According to Putu Suryawirawan, there are three downstream lines in the domestic CPO industry that are still potential to continue to be developed. First, the downstreaming of oleofood complexes, namely industries that process refinery industrial products to produce products between intermediate oleofood to oleofood products. Oleofood downstream products have been produced in Indonesia, including palm cooking oil, margarine, vitamin A, vitamin E, shortening, ice cream, creamer, cocoa butter, and specialty fat. Then, downstream oleochemical complexes, namely industries that process refinery industry products to produce products between oleochemicals, basic oleochemicals to finished products, or biosurfactant products such as detergent products, soaps, and shampoos, bioplants and biomaterials, for example, bioplastics. Furthermore, downstream biofuel complex, namely industries that process refinery industry products to produce products between biofuels to finished products, such as biodiesel, biogas, biopremium, bioaftur, and others. Professor of the Faculty of Economics and Business, Pajajaran University, UNPAD, who is also a researcher of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce's Economic Research of the Research and Development Institute, Ina Primiana, agreed with the government's plan. According to her, the government's strategy to strengthen downstreaming in the palm oil processing industry sector is one of the solutions in facing the ban on Indonesian palm oil imports to several EU countries. In addition, downstreaming will increase the selling value. She explained the price of CPO sold raw was only worth $800 until $1,000 per ton, while if processed for the needs of cooking oil production, the price will increase to $1,000 until $1,400 per ton. There will be more added values if palm oil is processed to be glycerin, fatty acids, biodiesel, and others. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Presiden Joko Widodo inaugurates Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Social Affairs replacing Idrus Marham. President Joko Widodo assigns the handling of Lombok disaster impact as the main task that must be carried out by Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita as Minister of Social Affairs. Governor Bank Indonesia BI Ferry Warjio confirmed that the impact of the weakening of rupiah exchange rate on domestic inflation is still under control. In a press statement of the attended high-level meeting of the Central Inflation Control Team TPIP in Jakarta on Friday, Governor Ferry explained three factors that support this. Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita affirmed that nowadays the U.S. government is still delaying implementing trade sanctions for Indonesia. Previously, the U.S. government prepared trade sanctions worth $350 million, or around 5.04 trillion rupiah for Indonesia. The Indonesian government plans to hamper imports of consumer goods by increasing import income tax PPH ranging from 2.5% until 7.5%. The mean tax is in Article 22 income tax, which will be charged to business people who import 900 types of goods that had been determined by the government of Indonesia. Newly inaugurated Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said at the State Palace in Jakarta that the Minister of Social Affairs plays a major role in reducing poverty in Indonesia. He pointed out this after he was sworn in to replace Idrus Marwan, who resigned as Minister of Social Affairs. The Indonesian government, through the Central Inflation Control Team, TPIP, keeps maintaining inflation low this year until next year. Previously, then, the government targeted inflation rate to be at 3.5% plus minus 1%. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Dance Village in Semarang, Central Java Province. Stay tuned! Listener, the government of Semarang Regency, Central Java, has developed tourism village since 2009. The villages which are included as tourism villages are Tanon and Ngrawan villages. They are located on the slope of Mount Tolomoyo, which have been designated Dance Village since 2012, and currently, Tanon Village has been known as Dance Village because almost all villagers know at least one type of dance. For further development, Tanon Village also conducts various kinds of attractions of tourism village, such as exploration of Mount Tolomoyo, outbound activities, shelter, psychotherapy tour package, and many others. If you want to learn dance, at the village, there are many kinds of dances. To support those activities, all villagers beginning from the elderly until the youngest will be taught English. Tanon Village is precisely located at Getasan District, Semarang Regency, Central Java Province beneath Mount Tolomoyo. The village offers nuance of rural nature which is still far from crowd. The village is still easy to be accessed from Yogyakarta. It takes around 2 hours by cars. According to the story, Tanon villagers love art. The village stores a lot of potential, and if it is explored, it will become local wealth, especially in protecting tradition of the ancestors. In the past, when Ketoprak was glorious, majority of Tanon villagers were involved to be Ketoprak players or Karawitan group. Now, at Tanon Village, in addition to enjoying and witnessing folk art performance and also traditional games, the visitors can also directly play it. Listener, at Tanon Village, you can also learn Javanese language, how to milk cow, and how to plant vegetable and many other activities. Tanon villagers provide their homes as homestay. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Dance Village from Central Java Province. I'm Putri Safiti Adela. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, environment and technology, even lifestyle. In this edition, I'll present some information about Samosir Music International Festival 2018. So, stay tuned in at voinews.id. Samosir Music International Festival 2018 was held again. Featuring Batak music, it was performed on August 25, 2018 at the Tuk Tuk Siadong Open Air Stage, Samosir Regency, North Sumatra. Batak is a tribe that live around Samosir Island or Toba Lake in North Sumatra province. Batak people in Indonesia are known to be very good in music and singing. Samosir Music International Festival is unique in concept compared to other international music festivals. Having been held for 3 times, it involves national and international musicians, and all the performers are required to perform Batak songs. In other words, this raises the value of Habatakon, or the virtue of Batak tribe, and introduces it to the world through the world of music. Like a concert held by Henry Manik, a musician from Samosir who is now domiciled in the Netherlands. According to Henry, he wanted to show that Batak songs are very beautiful and flexible. It could be composed into all available music genres. And of course, the promotion value of the area is very much contained in it. The event is part of the Samosir Regency Tourism Calendar called Horas Samosir Fiesta 2018. It was launched as part of the promotion of Lake Toba Tourism as it has been designated as a special economic zone. Nadine Belir and JBS Band from Austria, Bernadita Astari from the Netherlands, and Japanese flute maestro Kento Frieshacher are a series of names of international musicians who performed in this event. National musicians who also took part in the Samosir International Music Festival 2018 were Vicky Sianipar, Tongam Sirait, Alsan Nababan, and Louis Sitanggang. With a unique concept, Samosir Natural World, as a background and famous musicians who enliven it, the festival was indeed very special and attracted many people. Today's edition of Miscellany featuring Samosir International Music Festival 2018. We will meet again in the next edition of Miscellany with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner.
presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Fadi Akbar. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Mayor 7, or in English, Mayor 7. Happy listening!
Kau datang bagai udara, diam tapi terasa. Pesonamu berbahaya, ku takut jatuh padanya. Oh, siapa dia? Senyummu bagai cahaya, indah hanya tercipta. Kau alasanku bernyanyi, kau alasanku di sini. Tuk jatuh cinta, kau laguku, lagu cintaku. Nada mayor 7, lagu cintaku. Oh, oh, dam dam dam, dam daram daram dam dam, dam daram daram dam dam, dam daram daram. Rasa ini tetap ada. Kuasa dan meraja, hey, hey. Guratan sejuta warna hiasin wajahnya. Ku jatuh cinta, kau laguku, lagu cintaku. Nada mayor 7, lagu cintaku. Kau laguku, lagu cintaku. Nada mayor 7, lagu cintaku. Oh, kau laguku, lagu cintaku. Nada mayor 7, lagu cintaku. No, 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 no. Hey, 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 hey.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Mayor 7, sung by Fadi Akbar. The song tells about someone who falls in love. Smile of the lover is as beautiful as light. As expression of his heart, the lover is mentioned as 7 major tone in his love song. The song itself is the second single of Fadi Akbar. Earlier, Fadi Akbar introduced himself to Indonesian music industry with a song entitled Jangan Salah. The main musical genre of Fadi Akbar is jazz, pop, and swing. His musical style and performance make him beloved by Indonesian young music lovers. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tanya Jadi Rasa.
Musik.
Sudah lama ku percaya cinta hanya sebuah kata, tak nyata makna di dalamnya. Dusta cipta Adam dan Hawa, dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka. Ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku telah jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha. Kau bertanya menjadi rasa, cari arti dari semua ini. Rasa tinggi karena kau di sini. Kau beri kesempatan hati untuk kembali mencintai, dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, oh. Ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka. Ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku tak jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Fadi Akbar. The lyric of the song tells about someone who views love only a word without real meaning, but his belief changes when there is someone who is able to change everything. Fadi Akbar was born on August 8, 1995, with the original name Fadi Akbar Kalamata. He is a little brother of Indonesian singer Fidi Aliano, who has worked before him. However, Fadi does not rely his career on his big brother's name. Fadi is confident in his music with his own style and attraction. Well, listener, that was our segment, Music Corner for today, by featuring Fadi Akbar's songs. To conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Ruang Untuk Bahagia, and also Kenangan. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Tiba waktu bertemu di ujung pintu hariku, ku ingin temukan senyummu untuk hilangkan semua lelahku saat kita bersama berdua. Tak perlu bersuara tuh kita, saling bicara, saling membaca arti kata. Tak perlu ada mereka. Selalu punya pendapat berbeda, karena mereka bukan kita yang larut dalam cinta. Seakan dunia hanya berdua, milik kita bersama tercipta ruang untuk bahagia. Mereka bersuara telah mengerti kita. Tak perlu temukan ragumu. Ini tentang aku dan kamu dan kita yang larut dalam cinta. Seakan dunia seakan dunia kita yang larut dalam cinta.
Masa indah kita lalui, semua terasa bagai di alam mimpi. Ketika kau hadir kembali di hadapanku, ku rasakan saat pertama ku kecup keningmu, hingga detak jantungku berdebar keras bersama hangatan mesra rasa cintamu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.